Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Praise the Lord. I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. I've been hanging out in Luke a long time, but I want to share some scripture with you that I think will enrich you a little bit and maybe encourage you a little bit, and not in the context of trying to whip your faith up or your spirit up to believe something that's not true or that doesn't work out in a practical sense. I'm a firm believer that when you pray, God hears you, and God answers your prayer. And in fact, can I go so far as to say this? I believe that sometimes God is looking after your life, and you haven't even prayed about some of these things that happen in your life, and still God does good things for you. Can you raise your hand and say, yeah, God has done those things? Didn't even ask for it, but all of a sudden I got this blessing. I think that's a very true principle. I think that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And therefore, I believe if you walk in those steps as a righteous person, that means that you're living right, you got a right relationship with God. That's what that all means. And God is ordering your steps. I believe He provides for you blessings and gifts and such along the way. And those of you that raise your hands are good witnesses to that. I can definitely tell you that God has done some marvelous things in my life that I never even asked for. It just happened. And I'm deeply grateful for that. And I think that's part of it. Is that God does things so that you'll appreciate them, the things that He does for you, but that you'll also appreciate more Him for being the one who looks after us and is our Heavenly Father and provides for us and gives wonderful, and in fact, He gives the best gifts to His children. But I want to read some scripture to you and ask you to turn to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. There's a section of scripture here that is back in the previous chapter, say the 30th verse of chapter 10, there's a story there that everybody is probably familiar with. Even if you're not know the story in detail, you've heard of the Good Samaritan. Everybody knows of a Good Samaritan. It's become almost a slang or colloquial term that we use. And everybody knows what it means, even though some people may not even know where it's at. They may not even know it's a Bible thing, but they've heard of a Good Samaritan, somebody that has done a good deed for somebody. So that story is there. Now keep that just a little bit in the forefront of your mind. So there's that story. Immediately following that is a story of an encounter. Well, not an encounter. Jesus is at Lazarus and Mary and Martha's house. The next little story there, and Jesus is teaching. You know, the one thing about Jesus was wherever He went, He taught people who He was. He taught people about how to live for God, how God wants to bless them, how much God loves them, how much He wants to forgive them of their sins, all that stuff. He's teaching, and Mary is sitting at His feet. Remember the story? She's sitting at His feet. She's just loving to listen to what the Lord is sharing with her, and she's being enriched and blessed that way. Martha, I hate to mention a person's name because then you'd think I'm comparing them, but I'm not doing that really. What I'm saying is we have a lot of people in our church that are hospitality people, you know what I mean? And they're the ones that after the dinners are in there washing the dishes, picking up the plates, cleaning up the tables. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? And so Martha was that way. The dinner was over. Jesus is teaching. Mary's just listening, And then there's those that are back there. Martha's back there cleaning up the dishes and stuff. And so Martha tells the Lord, she complains to the Lord, "Lord, look, man, I'm doing all the work here. She's just sitting there. Aren't you going to tell her to come help me?" You know the story well enough. So interestingly enough, Good Samaritan, talking about good deeds, story of Mary and Martha, good deeds, doing the right thing, and doing it with the right heart. It's a good thing Martha was doing the dishes, but she needed to do it with a good attitude, right? She needed to have Mary's attitude. And then beginning in the chapter 11, the Lord goes right into, He's asked, how do we pray? These things don't seem to be connected. They seem to be just little excerpt stories. And Luke does that a little bit. The others do it some, but Luke does it pretty well. Kind of compartmentalizes as he tells you the story of Jesus. You've got to remember that Luke was written to an individual, to a person, a guy by the name of Theophilus. He's writing this story about Jesus to tell him all about Jesus. So he writes this gospel. He also wrote the book of Acts to the same guy. To tell him what happened after Jesus went back to heaven and the church began its ministry and its work. And so this guy kind of compartmentalizes things. The book of Luke should be a good book for men to read because that's how we think. Did you know that? Men think compartmentally. We go to work, unless you own your own business. We go to work. When we leave the job, we click the bulb off in the room and we leave and we don't think about work. You come home and your wife says, "How was your day?" And you say, "Oh, it's okay." The wife doesn't think that way. The wife thinks continuum. It is a continuum. And everything in the continuum is important. And part of the continuum is a definite part of the continuum is details. The wife wants to know details. Have you come on? You had a day. The only time that she usually gets details is if you've had a bad day and you've got to unload it, so you unload it on your wife. Am I correct? Maybe you ought to all come to that series at my home and learn about marriage. Amen? But anyway, this book would be good for men because we think in these terms. When we read this, it's easy for me to read about the Good Samaritan and then read about Mary and Martha and then read about how to pray. They don't all seem to be connected, but actually they're all connected. It's part of how Jesus is teaching his people to love him, to love God, and to have the right attitude in order for God to do things in their lives. You see, God wants to do things in our lives all the time. Well, in fact, he's always working in our heart. You can't live a single day out and claim and honestly say as a Christian that God has never spoken to me, never said anything, never impressed anything into my heart or my mind. He's always doing that. He's always talking to us. He's always trying to teach us. He's always trying to keep us in the right attitude and the frame of mind and the frame of spirit so that he can minister blessings into our life, minister growth into our life, teach us things, encourage us, help us to grow, and be built up in the faith and all those kinds. That's what God is constantly doing. And have you ever noticed sometimes that you tune him out? Men are good at compartmentalizing, and so as Luke writes this, men should catch on to this as a very good approach to telling someone about the gospel because men think this way. We think, yeah, okay, this event happened, but we understand that they're connected, but we don't always put them together in a continuum and give all the details. Yeah. But Luke is trying to help us understand this whole section of Scripture is to teach Christian people, believers in Jesus Christ, not only how to live, he approaches, hey, you should do good deeds. You see a guy on the side of the road, you should help the guy. That's the Good Samaritan. And if you're doing something together in fellowship and one person is doing all the work, yeah, you should get up and help them. But more than that, the most important thing is to observe your love and your appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever the relationship is, get Jesus involved and it's going to be a good thing. So yeah, that's part of it. And then he teaches us how to pray the Lord's Prayer in the first part of the 11th chapter. I don't know about you, but when I received Jesus Christ, I knelt down on an altar. I did not know how to pray. You know, if you study the Lord's Prayer, you will find a pattern of how to approach the Lord. The first thing you do is give honor and praise to God. Hallowed be thy name. Glory to God. That's how you approach God. You don't just say, hey, God, I need this, I need this, I need this. You got to get his attention by opening up your heart in worship and praise and hallowing of God before you start laying down your petitions. And some of those petitions are general they're general in their attempt to, you know, get a hold of God. But I think what God wants us to understand, he gives us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? That's pretty broad and general, isn't it? Well, folks, I tell you what, I need a steak now and then, so I'm not going to be asking for bread every time I pray. You know what I'm saying? So there's some things that are pretty general about that, but some pretty awesome things about knowing that God has the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. So you start out praising God and you end praising God. And then in between, you can open up your heart and share with God. So he tells us how to pray. I needed to understand that. When I was talking to God, I didn't even know how to talk to him. I was just down crying at the altar, and then the pastor would come and say, just talk to him. Just talk to him like you're talking to your best friend. Hello. That opened up a whole brand new world. In fact, that's when I received Christ, because I started talking to him as if he were a friend, as if he knew me, as if we were not buddies, but as if we were acquainted, not as me here at this altar and God way up in heaven. And I begin to realize with that kind of, that God responds to your prayer. He responds to your asking. He responds to your attempt to get a hold and get his attention for your life and for your needs and for whatever he's wanting to do in your life. And so this whole thing that leads up to the section of scripture I want to read for you is very important, because it's setting the groundwork step by step by step to teach you something very awesome. Because the very next story, this is why I think this is so amazing how God puts his word together. And it's the one of the, not the only reason, but it's one of the main reasons why I believe the Bible is true. And that I don't need any other book to tell me how to get to heaven than the Bible. Because it is so well designed by the mind of the Spirit and the mind of God that when it was written with great brilliance. Because how better to reach a man than to start talking about specific little compartments that lead up to the main thing you want to tell him. I don't know about you, but men are also visual. I was going through my garage, and that's a major project there, but I've determined in my heart, my new bucket list for this year is to get my garage cleaned up and organized. And so I'm going through, and I find this book, and it's called the Picture Bible. And I flip that dude open and I'm thinking, man, this is a cool Bible. It's all in pictures. You see, I'm visual. I like to see things. And so comic books were great when I was a kid. I mean, I read Dickens and stuff like that. Moby Dick, oh dear God. I don't know whatever happened to that Melville guy, but man, the guy that wrote Moby Dick, he needs to be slapped upside the head. That is the worst book I've ever tried to read in my life. And it goes on and on and on and on. And I'm just praying at the end that Ahab dies so the story will end. Anyway, I'm sorry about that. I got carried away. But so I like pictures. We're visual. And so what Luke is trying to do is give us pictures. He's given us snapshots here leading up to a very important statement that I really want to emphasize this morning that I think is pretty awesome. But the next story doesn't seem to be connected. Martha, Good Samaritan, how to pray. Now there's a story about a guy who comes knocking on his neighbor's door. You remember this story? Have you read it? You're knocking on the door and said, man, give me some bread. I need some loaves of bread. A friend of mine has come from afar and I don't have anything to give him to eat. I don't have any way to show my hospitality to him. Have you ever had neighbors drop in on you long about dinner time? And oh yeah, well, we didn't fix quite enough, but I'll fix some more taters, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's what happens. And so he does that. So he runs over to his other neighbor, who's his friend. He knocks on the door. Give me some bread. I got to have some bread. Another guy got to feed it. And the guy says, I can't. The door's locked. It's shut. It's locked. I'm in bed. I got the whole family in bed with me. The kids are in bed with me. I can't get up. What an excuse. First of all, I don't remember that, but I guess that's true. It happened in our house. I would go to sleep at night. My wife and I lay there, watch Johnny Carson until I fell asleep or something like that. I had to have noise before I could go to sleep, and I'd pass out. In the morning, I'd wake up, and all my kids are in bed. How does that work? So I could kind of identify with this guy. But anyway, he's saying, hey, I can't get up. But he does get up. He does get up and he gets him some bread and he gives it to the guy that's knocking at the door. What kind of attitude is he talking about? He's talking about a guy who sees a need. His brother comes with a need. He doesn't turn him away, although at first he said, man, this is inconvenient. Man, this is not right. You're torturing me. I'm all cuddled up and warm. I don't want to get out of bed. But he does get up and he meets the brother's need because he had a need. And it was an opportunity for him to do a good thing for his brother. And you would do the same thing for your neighbor, I'm sure. But these little compartments lead us to a very cool story. And it's brilliant how the Lord leads into this, and Luke records it this way, but he leads into this, and now let me read you the scripture that you've been waiting for so patiently. Ninth verse, 11th chapter. And this is very important. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocked, it shall be opened. Now listen to this. These next few verses are very key and very important. If the son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? You remember this. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Well, none of those things sound like good food to me as a substitute. But that's the point. That's the whole point. Verse 13. If then, being evil, not always having the right attitude, not always doing right, even if that's your condition, you still know how to give good gifts unto your children. Am I correct? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God gives the best gifts. God gives the best gifts. This story is, or this discourse that Jesus is giving is a perfect example of how the Lord was able to take spiritual truth and apply it in such a practical way that everybody that hears the story understands. Every parent, unless they're whacked out, and we got a lot of whacked out parents in our world today, but unless you're whacked out, most normal parents, when their child asks them for something to eat, is not going to give them something that is not edible, like a stone. Or ask for something specific, like a piece of fish, is going to give him a serpent. I mean, there are people that probably eat serpents, but most people don't eat serpents. Or if he asks for an egg, not going to get a scorpion. You can analyze every one of those all you want to, but I don't want to get into that kind of detail. I just want to mention something to you. Every one of you parents could identify with that story. Am I correct? Now, I know it annoys you when Johnny's pulling on your sleeve, I want some cookies, I want some cookies, I want some cookies, I want some cookies. And you say, no, it's not, you got to have your dinner before you can have some cookies. No, I want some cookies, I want some cookies. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about asking a resource, the person who is taking and caring for your parent, your guardian, whatever, for something that you need, and sometimes what you want. I mean, you may not always need a cookie if certain times I need them, but maybe you don't have to. But we may not always need a cookie, but food, meeting our physical needs, most parents understand that. And most people who have ever been a person know and understands that. You've either been on the giving end or you've been on the receiving end. Am I correct? You still with me? And so the intent is to bring you to a place where you understand what doing good things is all about. You do good things when you see somebody on the side of the road in a wreck, you help them. When you're having a fellowship time, you work together with the right attitude. You approach God, you enter into the presence of God and you ask him in a particular way. You give him honor and recognition for who he is, and then you present your petitions, then you praise him and thank him for it at the end of that prayer. Every one of these things are building blocks to this verses that I just read for you, and for an important reason. Most Christians don't grasp this. On occasion, they stumble into it. Most often, we stumble into it when God has done it when we didn't ask. The cool thing is you recognized it was God. That's a positive. But most Christians struggle with this truth, that if you ask, it will be given to you. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will. I have said this. Jesus himself has said this. If you ask, if you seek, if you knock, every one of your pursuits, your efforts will be responded to by God. What is awesome about that is that it's true. What is difficult for you and I is to understand the process that God goes through to bring your needs to you. You see, God, there's a couple of things you need to understand. God knows what you need. You don't always know what you need. But if you ask, God will respond. God will answer. God will give to you. But he most often determines it on the basis of what you really need, rather than some whim or whatever that you may want. Although sometimes he does give you things that you want as just to be an extra blessing to you, prove that he's a great loving God and that he rewards those who diligently seek him, and he wants to do wonderful things in your life, and he does those things. But how many times have we used this scripture at a pivotal moment in our lives, at a critical moment in our lives, and failed to grasp that there is something about this scripture that really needs to be understood in order to receive what we think we need from God? One is, you ask and you keep on asking. You seek and you continue to seek. I had someone sitting in my office yesterday talking to me. He's talking to me how great the Bible was. Talking to me about some other things too, but talking to me about how great the Bible. He says, you know, any question you have is in the Bible. If you can't find the answer to your question in the Bible, it just means you have not looked long enough. And it's true. There's an answer for every situation in your life in the Bible. Any question you may have about God is discoverable in the Bible, but you got to keep looking and keep seeking and keep hunting. And I think that's a very true principle regarding these scriptures. It's a seeking and a continued seeking and asking and continued asking and knocking and continue. What happens to us many times is we ask, we expect an instant answer. We ask for world peace. And we expect it to happen tomorrow. Am I correct? I'm not trying to dissuade you from asking. I'm trying to encourage you to ask. What I'm trying to get you to understand is God has made provision for you to approach him. If you were on the side of the road, he'll send a Samaritan. If you're in doing the dishes, he'll send some help. If you don't know how to pray and how to get a hold of God, he'll help you and show you how to do that. And he'll help you understand about giving to those in need, the relationship. He builds up to the relationship that God really has with us. Now, everything may be going fine for you today. So your asking may be at a limit. But there's going to come a day when you're going to need to ask and get a hold of God for some desperate things. And unless you understand this principle, that sometimes God doesn't answer instantly. But you will be given. God will give to you your need. What we need to do is know how to ask and continue asking. All too many Christians give up, I believe, just before God is going to answer. Now, that's not a cop-out or an excuse for God, because God can answer anytime he wants to. And a lot of times I've prayed for things, and then, you know, just kind of went on with the rest of my life. Other things started happening. I got my mind off of that, forgot that. And God answered my prayer months down the road, and I'd already forgotten. Has anyone ever experienced that? Because what we oftentimes think is so important at the time, because it's critical now, I've got to have it now. He may give it to you, but he may make you wait a while. For what reason? What possible reason? Well, that would be almost as cruel as giving you a scorpion for an egg. Is it just make you wait and make you be tormented on? Why would God cause us to maybe wait sometimes or a little length of time before he answers? To teach you something. Jesus never told stories or lessons unless it was to teach you something about him, something about God, or something about yourself. Ooh! That's the tough one, isn't it? That's the tough part. Sometimes we learn something about ourselves that our attitude isn't right. We might be like the religious people and walk past the guy that's in a wreck on the side of the road. Two of them did. Had the bad attitude. Maybe in the process, God is trying to teach you something about yourself. That you got the wrong attitude, you got the wrong spirit, you got the no faith, you got whatever. Maybe God is trying to make you self-aware, and may also in the same process teach you that not everything that you think you need, do you really need. And that leaves God with all kinds of options, doesn't it? I would rather give God lots of options than to narrow him down, and if he don't answer this specifically, then God don't answer prayer. Let me tell you something. You may not think God ever answers your prayers, but he absolutely does. In fact, there are some people who teach God don't listen to sinners and don't answer their prayers, but I'm here to tell you that's a full-blown lie. Before I became a Christian, in fact, the only way I became a Christian, I was a sinner when I asked God to forgive me, and he forgave me. But I'm going to tell you what, God did some other things when I was not a Christian, and he answered prayer. And you know what? I think those were stepping blocks for me to come into faith, full faith in Jesus Christ. Because I think God loves you while you're yet sinner, while you never knew anything about it, before you knew anything about the Bible, knew anything about Jesus' love, knew anything about his forgiving power, or knew anything about his personal sacrifice, before you knew any of that kind of stuff, I think you've probably called on a God a few times, and God answered. And I think now he answers on the basis of what you really need in your life. Is anybody with me this morning? Because I want to encourage you. This is a very positive message, I think. Because I think what you need to do is address some of the things you need in your life. I don't think you need all. I mean, I think it's wonderful, and I deeply appreciate the privilege of praying for you. I think the victory is won, not in the altar. I think it's won. Well, I mean, it could be in the altar, but I think the victory is won by you and God when you get the right attitude about what you're asking about. Am I making any sense? The right attitude. There's a number of things. Husbands, did you know your prayers are hindered sometimes by the way you treat your wife? I know that for a fact. It took years for me to get my 57 Chevy. I think I reveal far too much with that kind of a statement, don't I? But God's desire is to meet. Why would a loving God refuse you for asking him for something that you need? Food. Now, he's referring to food all the time. Not everybody has a crisis in eating. That's wrong. But sometimes you face serious spiritual issues, serious life issues. Serious personal issues that cannot be addressed, not always publicly, but can only address between you and God. And most Christians struggle with their faith because they think they got to have so much faith before God's going to hear them. And that's not true at all. In fact, Jesus clearly tells us it's the small mustard seed-sized faith that moves mountains. Well, if that's the case, I got enough for that. I think Peter even mentioned that when we were praying this morning. We've got that. We need to ask and keep on asking. And not by be discouraged because God doesn't answer immediately. Sometimes he will. I've prayed and God's done it. But most of the time God wants to use that as an opportunity to show himself to you strong, mighty, powerful God, loving, full of mercy. Full of blessing, wanting to give you the best gifts. Ask. I wonder how many times, the reason I can talk so well about this, because I've gone through all of these things. I've gone through all, and I'm not perfect at it, and I probably never will be perfect until Jesus comes, and I just go up to him and ask him personally. I've gone through all these same struggles. I've gone through every one of these things. God, why didn't you answer that prayer? Why didn't you do that? And then I find out months later why that didn't happen when I thought it should happen. Because you see, I think God should answer my prayer now. Every time. Okay, I'll learn. Just tell me what the lesson. I'll learn it right quick, but answer now. I want it now. That's because I'm a spoiled American brat. I go down to McDonald's. I say, I want a Big Mac. I get a Big Mac. Burger King, get a Whopper, I get a Whopper. It's instant. If you got money, I mean, you know. But it's instant. I have instant gratification, and many times I try to approach God that way, not wanting to learn the lessons that God is trying to teach me about my attitude toward other people, toward Him, toward the kingdom, toward my, even myself and my spiritual walk. Sometimes I'm awful lazy. Sometimes I don't care if I'm growing spiritually or not. Sometimes I just want to do what I want to do. Is anybody in the same boat, Rowan? But then I think the greatest gift God has ever given to us. You know what he talks? He talks about a stone. If you want to ask for bread, you give him a stone. Stone, unedible. I know people with stomachs like this eat a stone to put something on there. I know that. You know, I know all that. But stones are not normally edible, folks. And the responses, every one of those was an error response. The response would have been cruelty, not trying to meet a need. But he says, if you know, you're a parent and you know how to give a good gift to your kids and you're evil by nature, how much more? How much more is God going to give you good gifts? Because he loves you, because he has a relationship, because he wants to give gifts to you. But know what the gift is. It isn't a stone or bread or any of that. It's none of that. How much? Let me read it for you one more time. Just want this to sink in before we close this morning. Let's just sink in. If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? How much more? Why does he have one gift that he's giving that's different from what was asked? Why? Well, because the Holy Spirit will help you gain all those things. He will help you know how to pray. He will help you to have the right attitude when somebody's in a wreck alongside the road. He's the one that will prompt you inside to say the right things, do the right things, be honoring to God, know how to pray. It's the Holy Spirit from within you that will help you in all those areas. He will gift you. You will have spiritual gifts in your life. You'll be able to do things for God ministry-wise with those gifts. You'll also be able to be a good example of Christian living because the Holy Spirit in you helps you live those lives. You can't live this by yourself because what happens? You want to do like I do. I want to do what I want to do. I don't always want to get out of bed and give bread to the neighbor. I want to stay in there and sleep at least past 6:30. You know what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit helps me to do the right thing. The Holy Spirit guides me and directs me, encourages me, builds me, teaches me the lessons that God is trying to teach me because God wants to give good blessings to his people. So he gives the right gift first so that all the other needs will come and follow after that. Do you understand that? And so he says he'll give you the best gift if you ask. So my suggestion is ask for the Holy Spirit first, then pursue your other needs with God. And if you already have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, then you should just pursue this life and search for the good things, for helping the people that are in wrecks and for helping people that need some help in the washing dishes or whatever it is. You see, God's efforts. I'm going to give you a story here, and it'll take me a little time to tell the story. I shared it with the pastor's council Monday night. And it is a real story. And I want it to be the kind of story that grips your heart in a couple of ways. One, that'll grip your heart to be more compassionate toward your neighbor, compassionate toward a brother in Christ, compassionate toward people in need. You follow what I'm saying? Now, I know I'm talking to the country. I know you're Americans. I'm talking to the country as the most generous country that has ever lived on this planet. I know I'm saying that. But on an individual basis, sometimes we don't live up to that high ideal of helping our brother. I'm going to tell you a story that I think is an awesome story. It's about two guys that I work for, two general contractors that I work for, one of which you know by name in this community, by the name of Larry Hemstra. He, if you'll remember, we prayed for him, and we went to, some of the men from the men's group went and ate pancakes. Even if we didn't like pancakes, we ate pancakes and donated some money for Larry Hemstra. He fell off of his building and shattered his leg. And by the way, he's doing well now. He just hobbles. I call him an old man now, but anyway, he hobbles around a little bit, but he's doing well. His healing process is doing really good. And the second contractor that I worked for did the exact same thing. Fell off the building, shattered his leg. I don't know if Larry Heemster had insurance, I know now that Nate Douglas did not have insurance. It doesn't matter. That doesn't make any difference. The fundraiser that they did here in town. I want to tell you the story about this, and I'll tell you why I want to tell you the story, because I'm a nosy little guy. When the Spirit of the Lord starts talking to me, I want to find out facts. Anyway, I'm on a job site with Nate Douglas, and I'm asking him how his leg's doing and all that kind of stuff. And he told me, he said, you know, it says it's interesting because he knows both Nate and Larry know each other by reason of this broken leg. They somehow made connection. I never have put that together how they made connection. But anyway, Larry told, I got this can be a long story, so hang in there. Larry told Nate, get out of Yakima, go to Harborview, get the A team to work on your leg, and because what had happened is they worked on his leg here in Yakima, and they were at a point now where they might have to take it off, and so they went to Harborview, basically they saved his leg. Let me try to shorten this story up. Saved his leg, he's healing a little slower than Larry, obviously, but he's doing well. But anyway, I'm talking to Nate and asking him how his leg's doing and all that. He said, you know, Larry, I told him, Larry's doing pretty good. His legs, he still limps a little bit, but his legs are doing pretty good. He said, you know what? He said, that Larry, he said, I don't even know him that well and stuff like that. I said, well, you know, he's a Christian brother. Oh, yeah, I knew that part. He said, his daughter is in symphony in Sela or something, and he was dropping her off there for practice, and he drove out to Nate's house to visit him. He said, he comes in and sets two big boxes of meat. One big box from his freezer, he filled it with meat, and he set it on my table, and another big box full of meat he had just purchased at the store and brought to me and gave to me. And he said they just sat around talking about ailments, like, old, you know, when you get old, you talk about what's wrong with you. That's not the great part of the story. I want to teach you two lessons when I tell you this story, because this is to me is exactly why I trust and I love Jesus Christ. So I'm at another job for Nate, and I get to talking to him. I say, hey, because I was thinking maybe he might need a little money, and I was thinking about giving him some money. And I may still do that. That's not the point. But I didn't know if he had insurance. You know, everybody depends on insurance instead of God. And I learned a great lesson. And I talked to him, and I said, man, how did you have insurance? Or how's this? I mean, the hospital bill's got to be horrendous. And he starts telling me the story. He said, you know, when I broke my leg, he said, my wife and I had decided not to have insurance on purpose. We would save money aside, kind of like your own health savings plan account thing, and for a thing like that. And if something came up, then we would be able to deal as best we could with that. And he said, it's amazing. He said, when I fell, the first thing I thought of was, oh, God, I wish I would have got insurance. But that's just the beginning of the story. He said, when I went to the hospital in Harborview, listen, this is awesome. Went to the hospital in Harborview. Two guys from the church I used to attend when I was over in living in Seattle area came. They heard I was in the hospital, and they came to the hospital. So they visited, and they reminisced and all this. Hadn't seen them in years and all this kind of a thing. And that was fine. When he got back home, opens up a letter, and in it is $7,400. That these two young men had helped, and their church that he used to attend to, helped, and they gave him the money toward his medical expenses. He said he's trying to pay it off by cash, and so Harborview has knocked off large thousands of dollars off the bill, because he's trying to pay them with cash on a monthly payment. He said, I'm always I'm always going to the mail. It just seems like all the time now that I go to the mail and some churches that I've never even heard of, I don't even know these people, and there's a check for $1,000 or $1,500 or $5,000. By the way, this community raised $20,000 for Larry Heemstra. Yeah, give God a hand for that. And we spent all, I lost all my profit in this discussion, but anyway, we stood there for about an hour talking. And I said, and we're talking about how awesome God is. Isn't that cool when two Christians get together and start talking about how awesome God is and how God is meeting needs and that it has to be God. There's no other way it could be anything other than God doing this. And here's another little thing. I mean, he had a piece of property in Selah that he had, and so he was able to sell that piece of property. It sold almost immediately. How many of you are trying to sell property? Sold almost immediately. He was able to apply that to the Harborview, so that's one of the reasons they knocked down a lot of the money. I know he still owes a large amount of money, but they because he's trying to do it with cash, they're doing it that way. And here's another thing that happened. He said, I was going through my QuickBooks. Everybody know QuickBooks? Everybody say QuickBooks. Raise your hand if you're a quicker. Never mind. Anyway. He's going through QuickBooks, and he discovered, he's looking at this bank statement, and he's looking at his QuickBooks, and what had happened was he had a rental that was paying, and it was entering in one thing, and it was supposed to be entering as a deposit into his account, but it was entering as a payment paid. And so what was happening was it was paying a fictitious payment, so Nate was, the QuickBooks was putting it away for him, and he didn't even know about it. So for 2 years prior to the, I'm not explaining this very well, but 2 years prior to this, this glitch happened and started saving this money for him, and he didn't even know it was out. He went to the bank, and he had like $6,000 that the bank had put away for him, or his QuickBooks had put away for him for this moment. And now he's telling me, I said, you know, I said, Nate, you know what is awesome about this is if you and I tell people about this, they just won't believe it. He said, you know, I'm going to say something to you. It may insult you, but I'm going to tell you this. If you have to learn this lesson of depending on the Lord like I'm learning it, I pray you break your leg. Why? Because sometimes it's only in those times of need that you discover that you can trust God, that He really will meet your need. He really will send a check for $5,000 in the mail from people you don't even know. You should know that here because that's how we built this building. I said, you know, Nate, it's amazing. I said, and here's the second reason I wanted to share this with you. I said, it's amazing. You try to tell people that God meets your need. Let me say one more thing before I share that. He got a check from somebody else, I can't remember exactly. He's telling me all these places God was sending checks through people. He is laying in bed with his wife. He said, I was laying there last night with my wife, and we were talking about this. And we got this recent check, and he said, I think we should start giving this money away. Now, he still has a big bill at Harborview, but God has also worked that out in a miraculous way, that the amount of money that's coming in on another situation is able to pay the payment to Harborview. So God's paying the payment through other means. And so I'm thinking, this is God, because nobody gets prompted to give money away unless God is inspiring them. Or, you know, good feelings, people have, or philanthropists or whatever. But I'm thinking, this is awesome. And I said, Nate, you know, you try to teach people about giving and tithing and giving away, not to receive anything back, but God keeps pouring it back on you to be able to give away again. That's the way God works. A couple things I want to leave you with. This, one, if you find yourself in need, ask and stand back and watch how God works the miracle. Watch how God provides. Watch, trust Him instead of your own ability. Trust Him instead of your own bank account. Trust Him instead of the insurance company. Trust Him. Now, I'm not saying go out and stop paying. You've got insurance. Keep your insurance. I'm not. What I'm saying is your trust should not be in the wrong place. All these little stories tell you, the little compartments tell you where to put your trust. And how God provides for His people. Wants to provide for you. Wants to help you. And I told him, you know, you try to tell people about giving to God, like giving tithing and offering. He said, you know, that's another thing, man. You give to God, you cannot give more than God is going to give back to you. He's going to give it back to you. I said, I know, and I try to tell people about that. And they tell me, oh, it's Old Testament, it's not biblical, it's not all this, it's not New Testament. That's a bunch of baloney. It is New Testament, it's giving to God. And but you try to tell people that they'll live better on their on everything except for what they give to God. They'll live better than if they try to keep it all for themselves. You try to tell them that, they won't believe you. You try to tell people that have financial problems. In fact, I would ask you, if you're having a financial problem, let me ask you one question. Are you tithing? Don't raise your hand. I don't want anybody else to know either. I don't want to know. But my question is, are you tithing? Are you faithful in your giving to God? Are you faithful in your service to God? Are you faithful to the kingdom of God? Are you faithful in these things? Because if you are, then you can ask. God will respond. But you try to tell people about that, and they look at you like you're crazy. How can 90% minus any other love offerings God puts on you, how can that be better than 100% of my money? Don't ask me. I don't know. I just know that it works. And that works, and so does God's asking and receiving work. It all works. The problem is, are you asking and continuing to ask? Are you seeking and continuing to seek? Are you knocking and continuing to knock until the answer comes? You know, we're all deathly afraid that our government has spent us into such oblivion that we'll never be able to pay it back. Well, frankly, I'm not going to be able to pay it back. In fact, neither are you or the next five generations. If they stopped now spending in deficit, it would take you a good long time to pay off the trillions of dollars we are in debt. And so we're all panicky. We're all, what's the best investment? Should I get gold and silver and diamonds and ivory and famous paintings? Should I hoard them and hide them in a safe? And should I get, you know, lots of food stores and build me a cellar and fill up all this food or all these things? And should I hide some cash? And, you know, there's some couple things that I always think about when I think about this. I think, you know, never do anything in a panic. If you do anything in a panic, you're going to do something wrong. It's going to be wrong. Second thing is, why is it that the people that want you to buy gold want you to buy it with cash, with money? You ever think about that? Just a thought. Just put it in your mind. They want to sell you gold, and it's such a great investment. Why? Because they want your cash. The other thing I always wonder about, if I bought an ingot of gold, I go down to buy me a loaf of bread. What do I just gnaw a piece off and give it to him? How do you do that? You know, just a thought, crazy kind of stuff. But my thinking is this. It doesn't matter what happens. It does not matter what happens. Famine, distress, if you trust in Jesus Christ, you trust in the Lord will take care of us. How's He going to take care of us? Dana's going to buy a truckload of beans, and we're going to give you some beans. God is going to provide for His people. God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. It may come down to a prophet is going to come. Pastor Connor is going to come knocking on your door, and you're making a few cakes, and you're going to give a couple to your kid and eat, and then you're going to die. And I'll come to your door and say, no, let me eat first. You know how preachers are, you know. And then God's going to tell you, hey man, get to all the containers you can get. Fill them with oil. Or He's going to tell you, dip in the old meal barrel And every time you dip, there's going to be meal. There's going to be oil. That's how God's going to do it. You know why? He's going to do it a way that you can't do it. Oh, he may use somebody to meet your need, but it's going to be a way you couldn't do it. It's always going to be a miraculous thing. It's always going to be a God thing where he helps you and provides for you. And I wish I had Nate and Larry Heemster here today to tell you how awesome I think their testimonies are. And I'm giving their testimony. I can't do it as well as they could. But I wanted you to walk away with this understanding. You can trust God. You can ask God. He will never deny you. He will never fail you. And you can follow his pattern of giving and such, and God will always bless you. God gives you the best gifts. He'll give you the Holy Spirit, and all the other things will come with it. But you'll learn what it means to give to others. You'll learn what it means to receive from others. That's the tough thing. I always have a tough time with that receiving thing, but God always blesses you and does all these things. And I share this message with you because I think some of us are worried about things we don't need to worry about. Because what if Jesus comes today? Do you really think it's any... What if he came today? Does it matter if the American currency is worth nothing? No, none of that matters. It matters that you trusted Jesus and he has never failed you. 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 Amen. I want us to stand, and I want to pray a prayer this morning, and I want you to pray the prayer with me. In fact, I think our prayers should be something along the lines of a proclamation, and just proclaiming, I am not going to worry, I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to trust the Lord. He will meet my need. He's met it in the past, and he'll meet it in the future. That'll necessitate a couple things. One, stop worrying about the future. And stop regretting the past. Live today pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord. That should be our prayer. I am going to trust the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will trust the Lord. We will depend on him. And I'll watch for the miracles to happen in my life. Amen? Let's pray that way. Father, I just declare that from my heart to you this morning. I just publicly proclaim that I will not worry or fret, but I will trust in you. For you have never failed me once in all the years that I've served you. You have been faithful to me. You have blessed me. You have provided for me. You have blessed, shaken down, pressed together, and running over in my life. I've shared two great testimonies that blessed my soul this last week. To see how you have provided for your people. And you're no respecter of person. You'll provide for all of your people. When we're in desperate need, you will somehow make a way where there seems to be no possible way. And I know you do it. And I praise you for it. And I commit myself to it, to trusting you, to ask, to seek, and to knock. And let the Holy Spirit lead me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last story as you go. I used to be a great athlete at one time. Mostly in my mind, but I was an athlete. I used to play slow pitch ball for years in Yakima. We had several sponsors, Stranfruit, Elliott Insurance, others. We played for their team. And one time I went out for a pop fly. I was playing shortstop. Went out for a pop fly. I reached up to get it, catch the fly. It kind of went up like this on one leg. The center fielder was coming in for the ball, slid, hit me in the leg, broke my leg in half. Self-employed, no insurance. Went to the doctor, got paid. I mean, got, uh, got, got my peg leg. And by the way, that those kind of things you need to learn, don't let them stop you. But very little income coming in. But what I discovered was, at the end of the month, all the bills were paid. God provided for us. And interestingly enough, I admire these guys. They're up working again. Larry was on top of his addition over here on off of Schooley, and I told him, Larry, aren't you going to tie yourself off? You'll fall off of there. I said, take that air cord and wrap it around your neck so if you fall, you won't get hurt. I say that to tell you that I'm not telling you stories of other people. I'm telling you stories that I've experienced myself, and so have you. Trust in what you trusted then, Jesus Christ. He'll never let you down. Never let you down. God bless you. Walk in peace, walk in faith, trust the Lord, and He will be with you. Amen?
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.